By faith I may see infinite love rolling over his for he died in my stead. Oh, then God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell. Sees my Savior, and then he sees me in the beloved, accepted and free. Okay, let's begin with our scripture reading before we have prayer. I didn't realize. Every time, you notice today, I get off and sing bass, and that's not supposed to happen. It's the other way around. I'm trying to avoid those E-flats. Great. Okay, just in case of fire, we'll put it out. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Eight verses. I won the argument anyway. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're headed to verse 7 in the message in particular. And that I'm going to stop at 7 instead. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, unspeaking idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema, that is, accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences or diversities of administrations or services, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations or energies, but it is the same God which energizes all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to every man, to the prophet with all. Then he goes on, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, to another the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And he goes on with a list, most of which are temporary in this matter. And so it's kind of funny. I did just exactly the way I did my outline until I changed it. And I put knowledge before wisdom. In that matter, because that's a logical order. So let's pray and we'll go to this section of God's Word. Father, may you guide and direct as we study your Word. May it be a time of special encouragement, maybe a little bit of stimulus to realize we have no reason to be proud of what we have as a spiritual gift. It's all grace. A person that's another person in this auditorium could have been given that same gift, but you gave him a different one for some reason. And it's all because you knew what you were doing and we didn't. And so we're grateful for every spiritual gift manifested in the lives of individual saints here. And may you bless in the study of your word this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're talking about descriptions of gifts. And like I said, I'm trying to make this concise. I don't know. The spiritual gift area is an area where I think I've done it 3 times over the years. And done fairly extensive studies in spiritual gifts. I think some of them are available off of, they were all taped. So if you have questions about gifts and that sort of thing, especially individual gifts, there's a resource, audio resource. Furthermore, there is a concise overview of spiritual gifts in the priesthood book. Because spiritual gifts are what I call there the specialization of a believer priest. They're something over and above what's normal. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. And what it is an ability over and above what is normal. And each Christian has one spiritual gift. And that's pretty evident. Let's go ahead and set that foundation. It's not in the notes, but 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Tell us something about spiritual gifts. To me, this is almost as important as Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. I don't like to say there are three passages that relate to spiritual gifts. There are four, and one of them is this, and this is more important. And he says, "And as every man has received a gift, even so minister that same one, that same individual one, to one another, as good stewards, or like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God or the word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth," and this is the word supplies, "that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is praise forever and ever. Amen." And I need to look at that again. I'm checking. Yeah, I do. I knew I did that. The is there. It's not in italics in that matter. Okay, so this is where we're going as we relate to this. You have one gift. Each one of you has one. If you think you have two, you better do some figuring and finding out. And I've mentioned one of the jokes that came out of San Francisco Seminary chapels was when a local pastor came in front of the student body. And he was kind of real, jumping up and down, enthusiastic. And he says, "Fellows, I've got to share something with you. I now have all of the spiritual gifts." That was not a good place to say that. Because nobody was enthusiastic because he did not understand the Word of God. And I don't know, he had just figured that he had one of the gifts that he didn't have. And so I don't know how many people listened to him after that. Because he just wasn't aware of some key things. If you understand spiritual gifts, why does he use a body metaphor to describe gifts? You know, gifts are part of body parts. Can you be a hand, foot at the same time? No. He says they're different. They're distinct. And so that's a part of it. But this passage is nice and clean in this matter. Now, it's interesting when we talk about spiritual gifts, there are two words that are used. That describe spiritual gifts. We use the word spiritual gifts, and that's pneumaticos. Relates to the Holy Spirit. And so that is a term that is used. We will also use it as, describe them as grace gift. Both of these are biblical terms that are used of these. And the word grace is charis, and the word charisma, which is the result of an act of grace. And so grace gifts and spiritual gifts are identical things with a different emphasis by the way they are addressed in Scripture. And you have, I put my Scripture in so it would be easier for me to maneuver, in 1 Corinthians 12:1 it says, "Now concerning," and we read this, "spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Concerning these things that were pertaining to the Spirit, that are identified as spiritual things that we call spiritual gifts," context tells us. In 14:1, he says, "Follow or pursue after charity and be zealous for spiritual gifts." Now, I'm translating that. It says, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." It's kind of interesting. And you read that, well, you need to be zealous. And this guy in that chapel had the idea that he needed to be zealous, and he did explain that, for all the spiritual gifts. The poor guy had a split personality. In fact, he had a multiple personality defect. Why? Because the you is plural. It's not singular. He doesn't say, "you guy" or "you gal." He says, "you all." All of the Corinthians, the church, they needed to be, they wanted the gifts. and needed them. And it's really interesting how most of them were probably extant in Corinth. I've often wondered which one may not have been. And it's just interesting because Paul doesn't see fit to say why they needed to be zealous for all of them, because the implication is that there may be one or two missing on that matter. I do know one that happened to be missing at the moment, but in that you had Apollos, who was acting as a pastor teacher, who did not have the gift of pastor teacher. He was an apostle. Maybe that was one that was missing. But we just he doesn't say. But you can see these are gifts that relate to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is the immediate agent that supplies your spiritual gift. The minute you believe the gospel, you are given a spiritual gift. At that very moment, you may not know what it is. And there are many, many believers that I know have not been taught in this area, and I understand some of the reticence in the matter of teaching it. I think people are being deprived of a special blessing when churches do not teach spiritual gifts. But you got it at that moment, and you all have it. And then whatever gift God has given you, it's always fun. I remember back early in my ministry, when I sat down, we were working in spiritual gifts, and I handed out a sheet and it had a list of permanent spiritual gifts. And I had three columns. One said yes, one said no, one said maybe. And so as we went down the list, if you know it's a no, make a no. If it's a yes, you don't have to fill it out any further. If it's a maybe, then mark it, and then you can narrow. You're narrowing it down, and you have some idea. And we did that at that time. And it was kind of interesting to see how there was an unawareness on the part of some in the assembly, and they became more aware of it in that matter. Because it's more fun, I say fun, and I believe the spiritual life is a lot of fun, but it's fun when you have gifts working knowing that they are gifts. And, I mean, they're going to work whether you know it or not, which is always interesting because before you know for sure what your gift is, there are certain things that you will be doing as a believer that just seem to come naturally. That is, supernaturally. And you may suddenly find out that you get to have an interest in things that you wouldn't normally have before you got saved. A spiritual gift is a grace gift given above what you have as a natural ability. And so there's no gift of bus mechanic. There's no gift of a piano player. There's no spiritual gift that relates to music, on and on. Because I've heard that one of the classics for me, there were a couple of them that were, but one of them was the gift of tears. And I should have kept that article because I read it and I just about rolled on the floor. The gift of tears. they can make spiritual gifts out of anything. Bottom line is, if Scripture doesn't call it a spiritual gift, I don't think we want to on it. Because the other classic to me was when I read about the gift of pimples. Yeah. Somebody said, I didn't say that, you did. and what it was, somebody had this problem and they were just overwhelmed with it. And they, meds wouldn't take care of them. And so they were convinced that God had given them the spiritual gift of pimples. And it was a way they contended with a problem, but to make it a spiritual gift is kind of marginally blasphemous. Maybe not marginally in that. But we have lists that are in Scripture that are really pretty clear. And don't forget that after 1 Corinthians 12, you have 1 Corinthians 13. And in 13, you have an indication that some gifts ceased. And we'll get into a little of that as we go. So this word charisma is the word that dominates. And so you hear the charismatics. There are those who believe in spiritual gifts, so-called. Well, when they talk about charismatics, they're not talking about permanent gifts. They're talking about temporaries most of the time. The flashy ones. You know, the prophecy ones. The speaking in languages. A few people will understand that glossa is a word for languages. That is, it's not a word for some unknown ecstatic language. These are languages that were known. And so you have tongues, an interpretation of tongues, that is, of languages. Now, it would be nice if that was a permanent gift and that we had more than one, because many of us would like to be able to interpret languages with ease. Generally, we have to work like mad to get our languages down. That would be a great gift for seminarians, you know, and seminary professors. In that matter. But this is languages that were spoken. And you can see it was in language spoken, known generally by somebody present. At Pentecost, there were languages that related to tongue, or languages spoken throughout the Middle East. And it was a language that was most familiar with some of these Jewish proselytes that were there. But this thing of grace gift is charisma. Ma is a result of an action. And I've given you the list of occurrences of charisma related to gifts. We read 1 Peter 4:10. I want to read Romans 12:6. It says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, and so on and so forth, in that matter. Then in 12:4 of 1 Corinthians, it says, now there are diversities of charisma, but the same Spirit, in that matter. And then I've already read 1 Peter 4:10. And so you have charisma and pneumaticos. That is, a thing of grace versus a thing of the Spirit. And so both tie together. They're the same thing. And obviously charisma happens to occur more frequently because I put them all in your notes. I mean, in my notes, which you have. In that. Now there's another word that becomes important for us today, and that is the word for differences. Differences, diversity, and in Romans 12 and verse 6, we have one word, it's diaphoros, and it has, and let me read the verse. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, or proportion of faith. This word differing is a word that's different than the one we're going to focus on today, diaphora, and it means to carry through or carry along is our basic idea. So diaphora is our word there. So pharaoh is a verb that means to carry, dia, and it has the idea of making distinctions in that matter. And so that's in 12:6. We're not going to go back there because I want to emphasize the passive verse in verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And then we have this differences, and I'll just read 12:4. We're going to be here working these, and that is, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There's a difference in ministries of gift. The way they work. And we're going to be more definitive as we work through these three verses that have this this term, which is the term. I knew I was going to do this because there's an English word that carries across. Diaresis, and it's a grammatical term for two little dots over a letter. And so you have some will translate it diaresis, and that's that little mark. In German, you'll hear about the umlaut. An umlaut is that double dot. And we'll get into it in a minute. And so we have a verb that comes from that same root in 12:11 of 1 Corinthians. It says, and one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he desires. The word distribute has the idea of allotting to and so providing for someone by sovereign determination by the Spirit of God. And it's kind of interesting, and I wanted to put this in, and I put it in the notes whether we'll get there. Your spiritual gift is yours because of the involvement of all three persons of the Godhead. All three persons are involved in providing your spiritual gift. All three. Now, who do you blame for the one you have? You know, you want to get mad at one of the persons of the Godhead if you don't like your spiritual gift? That's always a fun question, isn't it? Do you blame the Holy Spirit? He's the agent that gave it to you. But who chose it? God the Son did. And we'll see some of that right here in these verses. With a reference to the Lord. I mean, I know that there are people that don't always like their spiritual gift. You know, why is it that I'm always doing this? And, you know, you're good at it. That's the reason, because you have supernatural enabling in that area. And you do it better than most, because God does that for you. But, you know, we get tired sometimes of things we do. You know, the radar that goes with that gift, sometimes you say, oh, not again. You know, no, you wouldn't do that. Once in a while, I do. I just say, you know, I've got enough on my plate as it is, and I'm not ready for another funeral service. You know, that happens, and there's no choice. And I wouldn't want to make a choice in this one. But it's really interesting, Father, because I'm watching. I have no idea. There's another funeral on my schedule, but the person is still alive. And I see the cars across the street from time to time, and when hospice comes, the two cars come. They don't travel together. They must not get along. But anyway, they come, and I know hospice is over, checking on this lady who's already signed me up to do her funeral in that matter. And it's kind of interesting. It's honestly, there are times I just pray, keep her alive a little bit longer, Lord. I don't have time on it. Now, that's not weird. Really, it isn't. It just seems that way. If she was suffering more, it would be weird. But she's doing okay on it. And she's just, you know, when you're over 100 years old, things are going to start shutting down a little bit anyway. On that, and so with that, and so the Holy Spirit is the one who is involved in this, and He gives us these different gifts for different purposes. And you know, I don't think that He did a personality analysis to determine, either Christ did a personality analysis to determine which gift would fit your personality. I'm always thrilled when I see somebody, and the ones I'm looking at, because of what I've done for years, is pastor teachers. And I'm always thrilled when I see somebody that doesn't look like they would be do anything in the pulpit. I mean, they are so concerned about just being in front of people. God gives them a spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And they get up and they're able to communicate God's word by the power of God. And it's a gift that they never had before. They didn't want to look anybody in the eye. And they can get in the pulpit. And I've often told you the story of the guy who stuttered. He was given the gift of pastor teacher. And he went to Bible school. And he had the gift of pastor teacher, but he stuttered. Nobody said they didn't want him to go to Bible college. They tried to discourage him and everything else. And he'd sit in classes and just stutter his way through the classes. Got to quit doing that. It might get a habit. But he would stutter. And so he got, when he was prepared, he got into the pulpit and he preached. And you know how often he stuttered? Zero. He got in the pulpit and he preached the word with some authority, and there were saints that were encouraged. Been nice if he had a better education, but he'd get in the pulpit and he would not stutter. Then he'd go to the door and he would introduce himself, you know, I'm brother, you know. That's what would happen. And you'd say, no, God couldn't have given him that gift. He'd get in that pulpit. And you could see that God had done a miraculous thing, as it were, but it was that spiritual gift. And that's the way it works. I'm glad I was saved when I was, okay? I really am. I was saved as a child. So my memory isn't that good of what I was like before. I really, really think that I was probably an introvert, a pretty strong introvert. But as I went along, I had these opportunities once in a while to say something. And when it involved spiritual things, that wasn't there. And so it was something that was supernatural. And that's what happens. And when God does his work. And so he gives us gifts. And these gifts are varied. And there are differences. And we're going to see it in 4, 5, and 6. And that's where we start as we move in. Then we have that verb in 12, 11. And so these gifts are sovereignly provided. There are different ministries that are sovereignly provided. We're going to look at this as we move. That's 5 in verse 6. There are different energies or operations, and those come from God the Father. And so as we look through them, these verses are really pretty important when we want to understand better how the persons of the Godhead work. And you can see that. And let's read them again just to see. It says, now, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, and that's ministries, but the same Lord. Lord, referring to Jesus Christ. And then it says, and there are diversities of energies or operations, but it is the same God, and that is God the Father, which energizes all in all. So you have three different persons of the Godhead that are clearly mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, and their different involvement, a different emphasis, different focus as we relate. And so when we look at it, let's just break it down simply and we'll be back at it. And that is, God the Holy Spirit is the one who actually bestows the gift. When you got saved, he baptized you into the body of Christ, immersed you into the body of Christ. At that point in time, you were given your spiritual gift. So you've had it. You didn't get it after salvation. You got it at salvation. So your spiritual gift is that plus. I was thinking it'd be interesting to throw up an overhead here with just a picture. I should have probably used the bulletin cover. But my bulletin cover came a little later, and I have it that way where it's in the, it happens to be in the priesthood book. I have my can, it looks like a can of soup, and you have the norm, and then you have that which is above the norm. And we all have the same norm, except we all have a special ability over and above the norm. And so there's that one ability we have that goes beyond, and it's a thing of grace. It is not a thing that comes from your personal ability. It's from God's enabling that gives you an ability in spiritual things. And so that becomes very important. God the Son determines the gift, and you can see that again in 4:7 of Ephesians. We won't go there. And the Father energizes the believer's spiritual gift. And if we go back, we can look and we can see it's all by the will of God. The fact you have a spiritual gift, the fact I have a spiritual gift, is all because God desired it that way. And he didn't save us with a herd mentality. He saved us with a mentality of having special privileges related to one another. And we support the group as a whole, or the body. And so that's very important. And so there are differences, and we will see them. And let's begin at 4. Now there are diversities or differences of charismaton, that is, the spiritual gifts or grace gifts. There continually are. Present tense verb. There are present tense continually differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is exactly the same. If you think that you got your spiritual gift afterwards and it came from some experience, in some event, you better examine which spirit's involved, because there's one spirit that does it and he only does it once. And honestly, there are those who claim to have this, and I don't really think they were really believers. They're churchy. They're so-called Christians. They're nominal Christians. But they've been given this gift by the Holy Spirit at one point. Afterwards, you don't wake up and see an angel at the foot of your bed giving you a new gift. And I have a book or two in my library that describe the events like that. And so we need to be careful. But it's this, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. So you got your gift because of the Holy Spirit. I got my gift as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And we all have our gift, our individual spiritual gift, as that provided by the Holy Spirit. That's why it can be called pneumaticos. It's a thing of the Spirit. And that's the primary, and that is a direct link to being in Christ. The baptism of the Spirit, and it is one of the possessions you get from being in Christ rather than your position. It's a possession. It's something you use. It's something He gave you to take advantage of and to be used. And it's not for your benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. We've had some interesting discussions about whether a carnal believer can use a spiritual gift. A carnal believer can use a spiritual gift. He doesn't get the blessing. I mean, I've known pastors who've been in the pastorate, and I know are saved men, and they've gotten carnal and been carnal, and they can still use their gift to a degree. And so they can teach, and the saints can learn something, but there's no benefit to him. I mean, he doesn't get the blessing. All he gets is a pumped-up ego instead of the spiritual blessing. The fun of being able to just enjoy seeing God work through your spiritual gift. And whatever your gift is, you can be a good observer of what he does through your gift if you are aware. And that helps. That's one of the pluses of knowing what your gift is. Because you can get the blessing from using it. And you know it. And that's you're just as equal as anybody else in the body of Christ, whatever your gift might be. And that's important as we understand it. The next, and I did a funny outline, if you even follow my outline. I have the difference of the grace gifts, and I put a double A, but the same Spirit. There's this comparison. You have this difference word, and then you have autos, which is emphasizing the same exact. And in this case, that word is used three different ways. The autos, and that's what is happening here. There are differences of ministries. Our King James translates it administrations. It's a word you're familiar with. It's a word diakonia. It relates to doing the office or functioning as a deacon or a minister. And so there are various ministries. How do you use? Where's your gift going to function best? Some gifts function better in some places than others. And so when the church is gathered, I've often remembered a guy, and he was a dear brother, when I was in seminary in the church we were in. And I watched him. He had been selected as a deacon, older, mature fellow. And I watched him function naturally, supernaturally. That is because he had a spiritual gift. When this pastor said amen, he usually sat with his wife right near the aisle, and he would almost beat the pastor to the door. And it was really interesting. He would be at the door, and he would, when people came out, and he was always watching for visitors and that kind of thing. And he would be at the head of the line. The pastor was next, and the pastor's wife would be at the door. And it was really interesting. He was using his gift. I don't think anybody assigned him to do that. He just stepped right in. Nobody protested. He wasn't looking for any limelight or anything. And he would meet the people and introduce the pastor. And it was just kind of awesome. And introduce the pastor's wife. He knew what he was doing. And as soon as everybody got I mean, the people, the core people that he was concerned about got through. He just disappeared. He just, you know, wasn't there anymore. But he had already helped the pastor, and what his gift may have been a minister gift, because he helped that way and made people comfortable. And then, like I say, he'd just disappear. And then if you were like I was, you'd hang around and talk to people. And that wasn't a church that had as much hanging around as we do here. And hanging around is a good thing. And there we would stand. I mean, I'd be in the back of the auditorium talking to somebody or whatever. All of a sudden, here comes old Hugh. Starts at the front pew. And he goes up row by row, picking up the bulletin, straightening the hymn books, making sure everything's in order, and he would cover the whole auditorium. It wasn't huge, but he covered the whole auditorium, and if you didn't observe, you didn't know, this guy was using his spiritual gift. He'd make an effort to make people comfortable. And he's my illustration of one of those serving gifts, because he did that every Sunday. And you could almost tell after you observed that the people that needed to have that attention and that relationship to the pastor, sometimes there were people that had been in the church a while, he would wait until they would come through sometimes just to make sure that he gave them the kind of greeting that set the tone for their meeting the pastor at the door. And it was just kind of interesting. That is an involvement with this matter of gift and the ministry. God gave him the gift, and that's how it works. I don't know whether anybody told him it was his spiritual gift or not. I don't think they had to. I'm sure he did ultimately know. As seminarians, you always go somewhere acting like this is a classroom. You go to church, it's a classroom. And you're paying attention, I hope, you know, in this matter. And so you have the same Lord. That's Jesus Christ. And then when we come to verse 6, it says there are diversities of energies, operations. Energeo is our verb. It's a present active participle. And it involves the idea of an exercise of a certain direction of power. And the Holy, God the Father is the one who energizes this gift. When we use it, it's not our energy. It's not our operation. It is not our program. It's His. And when we understand that, we should be humbled at the use of what God is doing and accomplishing through us among the saints. And you say, we're not a very big church. You've got to have a bigger church in order for my gift to really show. Well, if you want it to show, this is the place you start. You know. It's not a show thing. I mean, you can use it all around. You get so comfortable with it. I watch you guys. I see how comfortable some of you are in the use of your spiritual gift. And I have a response that I make every time that my mind goes to that. You know what my response is? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because this shows that God's Word is working. And God is working. We're letting Him work. Now maybe we're getting out of the way in this matter. And so that becomes very, very important to us. And so He says, this is the same God that energizes all things in all ways. That's fun when you look at the text. Energizes all things in all ways. He's the one that's the ultimate source of the energy that accomplishes the will of the persons of the Godhead. And so that is a special blessing as we understand it. Now, let's go on to we get to the passive. I've been having fun in this series because sometimes I end up with the passives early, sometimes I end up with them late. And it just depends on how the context flows in my mind and as I'm led often to make the emphasis that we need. Verse 7. Gives us the focus, and I'm going to read 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's kind of interesting because of the order. It's hard to translate this with the emphasis that is in the Greek. The Greek text has got when you look at the King James, manifestation seems to be the dominant thing here. That which is visible. But that isn't. There is a word, and I apologize to those who are watching because I'm going to move behind the pulpit a moment. There's a word over here on the wall, right there. Ekistos. Ekistos. Each one. Each individual one. That's the word that starts this verse. On the wall it says, each one mature in Christ. In Greek. Here is the word. It's got a different ending. That's normal. So it says in verse 7, and to each one is given, or has been given, has been freely given. There is a passive. You didn't have a choice in what you were given. Somebody else gave it to you. And when they gave it to you, they knew exactly who you were, every weakness you have, every strength you have. When they chose it, it was sovereignly given to you. It's really hard for me when I deal with saints once in a while, and I haven't done it for a while, when some saints don't like their spiritual gift. And there's no question, it's funny, they finally figure it out and then they don't like it. You know, it's like somebody getting a Cadillac and always, you know, they see they've got a Cadillac and then they don't like it. Then they'd rather drive a hoopty car. You know, a junker. And that's kind of what happens, because you realize when God gave you the gift, it's the best thing possible for you. It's the top of the line. And so in your life, that gift you have is the best thing for you. And that's designed so that you can give God glory by that use of that gift and enjoy the privileges of that gift and see it as grace. See it as something that God graced you with. I know that sometimes you're at Valley, and this has been on my mind the last few hours. Here at Valley, there are those who feel they have lesser gifts because there's so many pastor teachers that come through because of the seminary. Don't you dare do that. Your gift is just as important as can be. And why has it been on my mind? My brother Wayne, he was not well educated because he dropped out of school about 6th or 7th grade. And I would go and talk to him and share with him. Like I said, I was up there every couple of weeks when he was at home. And I'd go up and spend some time with him. It happened to be on Thursdays. And I'd go out and visit with him and that sort of thing. And he would say, you know, I'm not like... all the guys, you guys know the word so well, and so many know the Bible. I don't. I'd say, Brother Wayne, you're living what you know. You know more than you think you do. Which was really true in that case. On that. And he always had that problem. He used his gift, whether anybody paid attention or not, we did. That was the thing. And it was interesting. He would come down and you just never knew what would happen around here. I mean, he'd come down and the lock would be fixed. You didn't know who fixed the lock. It was fixed. The lawn would be mowed. He would ride his riding mower from his house up and over the hill and around and down by the school and down here and mow the lawn. And the grounds were always nice and in good shape because he would write that thing down as long as he could. And it went on and on, these little things. Shave the door so it would close better. And we still haven't fixed one thing that he wanted to fix and never got there. And that is the wind tunnel out underneath that door out in front. And I don't know if you know how much space there is under that door. That was one of the things he was figuring out, and then he was unable to get down with it. In fact, I think he was the one that filled that in with some concrete in that matter. But he always felt he was second rate because he didn't have a teaching gift. I would sit and I would tell him, and I didn't do this just to encourage him, but I always appreciated it because I'd come out and I'd always say, "Oh, Wayne's been here with a lawnmower again. I just liked being out here watching him riding down here, down the road with his lawnmower, his riding mower." And he would do that. And every once in a while from the pulpit, I would thank the Lord for him and his what he did. He understood when I said that. I didn't very often thank Wayne for doing that work. The best compliment I can give any of you is I thank God for what you've done or who you are. And that's the focus. And he would do that. Wayne would sit back there in that back bench, and I knew it was going to happen. And he had to dig for his handkerchief because he's a very tender-hearted guy. And he realized that he was appreciated because he used his spiritual gift. And I don't know that when he went to be with the Lord, I really don't know as to whether he really understood how much we all appreciated him with his non-speaking gift. You know, I just really don't know. But I mean, it was always encouraging him. Just to keep going. And it was always a blessing to see that happening there. But you see in verse 7 it says, to each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. A manifestation is something that is visible. Something that can be seen. We have to be very careful because one of the rules that we often use is if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, maybe another believer will help you with it. Be wise, be careful, because if you don't know, there are a lot of people that are quick to assign spiritual gifts when they really don't know what's happening. They don't understand. And I've been in situations where somebody says, "Oh, you have this gift." And then the person thinks they have it and they don't. And it's really pretty obvious to a lot of other believers they don't have it. And it kind of can get discouraging when they're trying to do something and it doesn't work. And I kind of smile. And I'm going to use an illustration of somebody in this room because it's an interesting one to me. When Bob came, I met him for the first time. Now, see, I want to see an Irishman turn red. When he came to Woodburn, he came and he was still a stranger to me. I come, I teach. I got his first name. I don't think I learned anything else for a couple weeks. I didn't know where he came from, if he just dropped out of the sky or not. He was there. And so he's sitting up front. And so what happens, we're teaching, and Bob is absolutely 100% certain that he has a gift of evangelism. Why? Somebody told him he had it. Somebody told him he had it. Now, unfortunately, I believe that it was pragmatism. Somebody thought they needed somebody to go out and knock on doors, so when he was newly saved, told him he had the gift of evangelism, go knock on doors. Now, see, we understand each other in this. And so I'm sitting there teaching, and I'm watching, and I'm seeing an appetite. And it's not the kind of appetite that I would expect of an evangelist. I'm seeing some radar that's there. And you know what was interesting? He applied to seminary. He had already advertised his evangelism gift pretty extensively. And so a lot of people thought he's an evangelist. We don't let evangelists into seminary if we know they really have it. And so he was accepted. I had some people say, "Why are you letting him in? He's an evangelist." I said, "I know." I also knew that he was an evangelist. He had an appetite of a guy who had the teaching gift. And they told me, which gift? I didn't know, but I knew it wasn't evangelism. I also know how the gift of evangelism works. Somebody told him, in how many years? There were a lot of years there where he was hustling evangelism, and the results were no. I mean, the results for a person with the gift of evangelism, he only had a couple people that he had the opportunity to witness to in his life, and they got saved. And so that was used to affirm that. Well, most gifts have that opportunity over a period of time. Maybe they'll lead someone to the Lord. And so we let him in. Now there is not a question in anybody's mind what his gift is. Well, what it isn't anyway. You know, in that matter. I apologize for using you as an... But it's a great illustration. Okay, now and the Lord has already.
469.
But anyway, you see, he's just a good example, and we all kind of know, because when you first got acquainted with Bob, probably he was pushing the evangelism thing. That was really hard. And, I mean, I didn't go and tell him, you don't have the gift of evangelist. Not for a while I didn't. Because it was clear that it was that he didn't. He didn't have that radar. He would grab any poor person coming along and hit him with the gospel. I mean, the gift of evangelism has the ability to detect who's elect and who's not. And so he wasn't finding elect people. And he was busy beating them over the head with the gospel sometimes. Now I'm being more blunt in that matter, but see, and you do that, and so, you know, I mean, and there's an example on, yeah, when somebody said, yeah, I think your gift is this, consider it, but don't jump on it because somebody said so or somebody you respect said so. That gift is yours because somebody else gave it to you, and you need to make sure where it came from. You need to check it out. I mean, Christ chose it for you. And then you have the other two persons who are actively involved in it. And there's nothing wrong with you not knowing what it is. I've seen this happen. Where people did not understand they had a gift. Of course, I know some people that didn't want the gift they had and wouldn't admit that they had the other gift. How many years did it take for this guy that I know well to recognize that he was a pastor teacher? I told him early. I said, you got that gift. And finally, I don't remember how long ago, it's been in the last 5 years, and he was in the church in El Sobrante. He finally admitted that he had a pastor-teacher gift. He just didn't want to be in the office. And he was afraid somebody would shove him in the office because he was a good teacher. He's a good teacher. Right now, I think he's teaching 3 Bible studies a week in that matter. He had the gift. And he didn't want it. He came so close to coming to seminary. But to come to seminary would mean that he admitted he had a teaching gift. And that was a little scary, you know, in that matter. And so God knows what's best, and we understand that in this matter. Now, let's get back to 7. And the manifestation, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Each one has been given. This word manifestation has the idea of something that's visible. Do what comes supernaturally, whether you know what your gift is or not. I mean, when I say that, I mean, if something seems so natural, and there are ways you can tell, and when you're living in the realm of your gifting and you see how that works, then you have an ability to know that what you're doing is something that God has gifted you in, and it's helpful. On it, I think of I have this problem because I'm just thinking down people I know with their different spiritual gifts, but I know somebody has a gift of exhortation, of encouragement. There, I know a lot of people that way, but the one I'm thinking about. Uses that gift in some really interesting ways. And that's what it is. I don't know how long it took him to realize that was what his gift was. And it's really interesting when you see, I see the different ways in which that gift works. And how there are people that have been encouraged in ways that I never thought the gift worked. But it's still encouragement in its special ways. And so God is the one who gives that which is manifested. If you're having problems with your spiritual gifts, the first thing you need to do is be spiritual. Because then you have a relationship with the one who gave it to you. Then you can have the concept of what it might be. And don't be reluctant to let... you might say, well, I don't want that gift. Maybe at some point in time that was the one you didn't want in the first place and it was yours all along. You were a rebel in that matter. And so, but this has been given. It's something somebody else did. And that passive part of it, to me the passive there not only is interesting in when you got the gift of salvation, but the passive is really important when we use it. You know it is not... It's not your doing, but you know that it's God's, and that's why you want to be led to use something God gave you. You want to know. And be careful and be wise in that matter. That has been given. And that passive form there is a something that has been given. It's present tense, and you have it right now. And sort of the believers, and so you have in this seventh verse that's been given to each one, and what's it for? It's for profit. It's for that which will benefit another believer. And in verse 7, you can see toward or the direction toward or facing profiting. There's going to be something provided. Let me stop a minute and meddle. And that is, you realize that you may be an instrument of God in helping somebody with a benefit package. You may be the one who comes along and by the use of your gift, whatever kind it may be, it doesn't have to be speaking. It's this prophet. You share together. The word prophet has a soon in front of it. And so that's a compound word, by the way, in that matter. And it's for the profiting of that person. However you use that gift. You haven't had time to psychoanalyze somebody and say, how's my gift going to work? You use your gift and let God do it. But it's given to you for a purpose. And often I think, I've often wondered how many things are on a list if God kept lists. As to why a gift is given. And for how long is going to be used to benefit? I'd like to think the list would be awful long for all of us. Of those prospects. Just relating to saints in the realm of that supernatural, over above the normal ability in some area in the body of Christ. And that's really important to us. Now that has covered the core of these verses. But these four verses that we've looked at that are central here, as we look at 4, 5, 6, and 7, I'm not going on to the others because you had the breakout of a bunch of gifts, most of which are temporary but not all in this matter. And so what I wanted to do was just remind you of some of the gifts. And I told you I couldn't find a place where I had a good list in the doctrinal statement of the church. We don't have a list of specific places for each gift. And so this under Roman 3 in my outline, you have temporary gifts, and I've broken them into gifts communicating revelation, gifts confirming revelation, and gifts controlling revelation. And that involves apostle, prophet, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. There are those who try to make apostles and prophets extant today. There are those who like to carry those titles in certain groups of churches. Some of them have the nerve to let themselves be called apostles. And there are others who have the nerve to call them prophets. And they don't understand those gifts. We have in our area, and there's an influence across the country, that says prophet is a gift of teaching. Or preaching. the difference between pastor, teacher, and prophet. And there is, that happens to be in 1 Corinthians 13, which disapproves that possibility. And so those are four that are communicating revelation. I'm not defining them anymore, I'm just giving you a list. Then confirming it, that this is from God, a healing. Somebody comes along and they are they have a major physical problem, and God heals them. That confirms the revelation. A miracle, which is an exhibition of power. You see it throughout the apostolic church. You have signs, wonders, and powers were accomplished by the apostles. That was one of their works. The man of laws is going to try to replicate it because he's the pseudo, the false one who says he's Christ and he's not. Languages is one of those temporary gifts that confirm it. If you're sitting there and you're having trouble understanding, I've been enjoying sharing with Brother Pablo on Monday nights. His numero uno language is Spanish. And it's kind of fun. English is definitely a second language. He's still working at it. And I don't think I talk too fast, but I'm sure I keep him really running sometimes when we teach. And so it's been really interesting how God is working in that manner. If I can speak Spanish, but we also have a Spanish speaker sits right behind him, and I think encourages him too. Brother Richard is right there behind him, and it's just kind of neat to see it. The two Richards do some Spanish. I still remember hearing about that first time he was in evening school. Came. They all got out in the car to go home. He says, no, start. He says, well, let's pray. And the three guys were there, two of which spoke Spanish, one of which didn't. He led in prayer, just thanking God all over the place for where he'd been and what he'd learned in 1 hour or 2 hours. And it was really interesting because God's doing it. He's getting tools. His gift is pastor teacher. He's finding some resources. And he's, unfortunately, I hope he understands some of the notes because he's teaching part of his time is off of the notes from evening school in his church. And in my briefcase, I'm going to try to make sure it stays there. I've got notes to help him with his other series of sermons. But it's kind of, it's so interesting. If I could speak Spanish well, I could be more beneficial. But God set it up real nice. If he has any questions, he can ask them to me in English just fine. Right now, it seems like after evening school, I'm spending quite a bit of time with him. And he calls me pastor. Because, I'm shepherding him to some extent. But if I had the gift of tongues or languages, we would be having but God knows. And here, he's following the English-speaking class with a Spanish Bible. And I say, wow, what's happening here? And then, because with the English, I'm retranslating it too, so I know it's getting interesting. But it's fun to see what God is doing. There's clearly the hand of God in that matter. Then there are other gifts that are controlling revelation. You have the discerning of spirits. You have the interpretation of tongues. If you didn't have an interpretation of tongues, how would you know? I got a phone call the other day. Unfortunately, it was during class. And I could tell it was a one of those computer dial calls. And whoever had it couldn't pick up any name or anything early. And you could hear all of this non-English speak in the end. I think it was Indian. So I just went into some kind of gibberish. And I was just talking away, just rattling on in this. And I got through. The guys were kind of laughing. I got through. And I said, I wouldn't be very good at speaking tongues because I don't use enough labials. The L sounds. Because you'll notice in tongue speakers, they tend to like that sensual L sound. The lippy sound on it. But that guy was frustrated and hung up. Which was the whole purpose of that. 1 Peter 4:11 gives us two categories of gift. One is a speaking gift, and to speak as a logia of God, or oracle of God. That's logia. And then you have the other one, which is ministry gifts, and that's our diakonia word. Diakonia is a real interesting word in all the places it goes. Speaking gifts, I think there are four. One is evangelism. Another, and I've given you the passages in your notes if you need them. Exhortation or encouragement. Pastor, teacher, Granville Sharp rule in Ephesians 4:11. Teaching, Romans 12:7 says the one who is a teacher and with the gifts of teaching teaches didaskalia, and his doctrine to be believed, but is not necessary for practice. One who has a gift of teaching can do that in the norm. I always, my favorite pastor, my favorite teacher, always fascinated me because I lived with her a long time. My wife had the gift of teaching. And it was interesting what she did with those primary kids. She taught, they knew a lot of Old Testament material inside and out. But in the norm, she gave them just enough of the spiritual life and those things to encourage them. And I saw God using that. I felt it was just really well balanced when I saw it. And that was often God. He was thankful to God that he saw fit to put us together on it. And it was just because our gifts ran hand in hand in many ways. I was so proud of her the day she walked down to my study and said, "You've got to read this." And she was not very happy. And she was reading regular Baptist Press material for those primary kids. And it was a clear, open statement concerning modalistic Sabellianism, which was that there's one God and there are different modes of existence. So God in spirit is called the Holy Spirit. God in flesh is called Jesus Christ. And the general term for God was God. And that's what it said. They didn't call it modalistic Sabellianism. She picked that up, and she was ready to write letters. She still liked their visuals, but the heresy that was there. And it was a blessing, because that was in her norm. She picked that up. Well, maybe not, because that ties in with some of that. So those are for the ministry gifts. Administration or governments in the AV, a gift of faith. Some will argue with me about the gifts of faith. That's fine. I will agree to disagree. I've arm wrestled faith over and over and over. I know where it is. And some will say, well, it's in the middle of this list of temporaries. I have some other places to go when I get to 13:2 of 1 Corinthians. The gift of giving, the gift of helps, the gift of ministry, gift of organization, gift of showing mercy. And I've given you the passage so we have them. So let's be reminded, and we can do this quickly, I think, that these gifts are for the benefit of the body of Christ. They're not designed for your benefit. Sure, you get the blessing. But it's more fun to be able to use your gift and look and see how it's affecting another believer. It is. It's just great. And you know it's God, it's not you. You know it's the Holy Spirit that activates it. And it builds up the body of Christ no matter what you do. If you're picking up papers from the hymn book rack, or making sure that the inserts are in the hymn book so that they're there. You know, I know that this friend of ours, if he was here, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be making sure there were blue sheets and yellow sheets in every hymn book. And the white ones we also drop around. That's just the way his gift would work. In that, it's kind of interesting in that matter. And it was for the body. It builds up the body. And who gets the glory? Anytime you use your gift, who does? God gets the glory. Because he freely gave it to you, the passive recipient. And God was the active agent. Isn't it nice to have that kind of a grace provision? By pure grace. And it's just when you think about it, that spiritual gift you have, whatever it may be, and just because you might not know, or if you have like my little list, maybe. You know, there were times people had three maybes in the list. So, okay, you know it's not these. You know there's no yeses, but these are maybes. That'll give you an idea to focus some attention, learn more about them, and when you find out, you're still using them anyway. And God's getting the glory, and we're enjoying the way God gets the glory. And so as we have related to this, the passive, the very idea of the passive in this area, and it would be real easy for me to call that sikkim and to go chasing another year on spiritual gifts. We're not going to do it. But if you'd like to dig around, there's some material in that priesthood book on it. I decided that was very much just an introduction to the subject. There's some charts in the back with that. If you're interested in pursuing it a teeny bit further, if you're having issues with it, on it. Sometimes I think it would be really fun to have a track rack with all of the gifts on them, and have little things for each person with a gift to give them so they can think about it and how to use it best in the assembly. Father, you're good to us. We've been blessed. We've been encouraged by your word. We trust that as we continue to think on these things, that not only will we be thrilled with the provision of a spiritual gift, but that we will be thrilled with the practice of that same gift. We're grateful again because of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his choosing our gift and your energy energizing it and the Holy Spirit applying it or giving it to us. We are appreciative of that. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.